हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदम् पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ फ्रम् दि थर्ड् मन्त्र आन्वर्ड्स् टिल् दि एय्थ् मन्त्र वि हेव् कर्मयोग विवरणम् एलाबरेशन् आफ् सारी ज्ञानयोग विवरणम् एलाबरेशन् आफ् ज्ञानयोगः ब्रीफ्लि प्रसेण्टेड् इन् दि फस्ट् मन्त्र सो प्रथम मन्त्रार्थ विवरणमन्त्राः आर् विस्तरणमन्त्राः सो थर्ड् टु एय्थ् elaborate on jnana yoga briefly discussed in the very first mantra and there the four main aspects discussed we have seen in all these mantras and we completed the seven up to seventh mantra we also come to the eighth mantra eighth mantra also most of the words I have explained already so let us read the eighth mantra again so the sixth and the seventh mantras discuss what is actually the knowledge the effective knowledge and what is the benefit of the knowledge these both aspects what is knowledge and the benefit of knowledge both are discussed in the mantras 6 and 7 the 8th mantra also we started seeing and this was again discusses the atma swarupam as nirguna nirupadhika nirvishesha atma also as saguna sopadhika savishesha atma nirguna nirvishesha nirupadhika atma atma without upadhis we can say brahma param brahma and atma with Upadhis is Ishvara. Is it? We saw. recite this mantra now. Sapariyagat.
Sapariyagat.
Shukram.
Shukram.
Akayam.
Akayam.
Avranam.
Avranam.
Asnaviram.
Asnaviram.
Shuddham.
Shuddham.
Apapaviddham.
Apapaviddham.
Kavirmanishi.
Paribhuhu.
Swayambhuhu.
Yatha
tathyataha. Arthan. Vyadadhat. Shashvati bhyaha. Samabhyaha. So, as I said earlier, Saha is a masculine pronoun which implies the Atma, the all-pervasive, innermost essence of every being, the reality, obtaining as the self of every being, obtaining as one's own self, available for recognition in one's own mind, that Atma is in fact Saha Pariyagat. And I also told this, the verb is, Pariyagat is a verb which means, which implies the all-pervasiveness of the Atma. And again, even though it's a verb, it should be taken in the sense of a noun, because this word has come in the context of the nature of the Atma. The word Pariyagat. And this also I mentioned, the nouns used in Karmakanda section naturally should be discussed, be converted into verbs. And even the verbs used in the Jnanakanda section should be converted into nouns to get the correct meaning. Pariyagat. And then Shukram. Then again I said Shukram again. Even the Shukram literally means purity, the pure, clean, but it should be taken as what? The one who is of the nature of self-effulgence, which means Driya Atma, the all-pervasive reality, obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, is of the nature of consciousness. In what form is the all-pervasive reality obtaining as the innermost essence of every being available? If you say, it is in the form of consciousness, in the form of pure awareness. That is why, because awareness or consciousness alone is likened to a light. Awareness is, awareness is not the, light is not the awareness. But awareness is also what? Can be said to be the light, because awareness, light is that which brings something to light. Anything which brings something else to light is what? The light. Awareness also brings things to light, the entire jagat to light. How? Awareness alone brings the mind to light. Awareness alone brings the sense powers to light. Awareness alone brings the powers of organs of actions to light. Awareness alone brings pranas to light. Awareness alone brings the body to light. Through the sense powers, it is the awareness, it is the consciousness which brings the entire external world of objects to light, which means not by an action. Okay, bringing something to light means it does not need to do any action. By its mere presence, it illumines, which means illumining the material world of objects, including one's body, mind, and complex, is not an action on the part of the Atma. By its very nature, It brings everything to light. Therefore, it is said it is of the nature of effulgence that being self-effulgent is implied by the term Shukram here. Second thing, and this all-pervasive Atma, which is of the nature of consciousness, whose Swarupam is consciousness, effulgence, that Atma is definitely not the body or not the gross physical body, is not the subtle body and not even the causal body, which is free from gross, subtle, causal bodies. Free from means the Atma does not have any of these three bodies. Atma is free from these three bodies. So the negation of the three bodies. So Sharira Traya Nishedaha also is here presented you by these words. What are those words? I said the word Akayam. No, the Akayam, all these words, Akayam, Avranam, Asnavaram, all these words which are in neuter gender should be converted into masculine gender words. Why? Because in the beginning and at the end, the words used are in masculine gender. Okay? Because all these words really reveal the nature of the Atma. And the Atma is implied by the masculine pronoun. So all the words should be taken as masculine gender words. Anyway. So here, the word Akayaha, Akayam, you take it as Akayaha. Even though the word Kayam literally means body, the one who is free from the body is Akayaha or Kaya Rahitaha, the one who does not have the body, one who is devoid of the body, one who is free from the body is Akayaha. But here the word Akayaha implies what now? Actually, one who is free from Sukshma Shariram, Sukshma Dehaha. Okay, that's what he says. Akayaha means the akayaha, that word negates subtle body. Then avranaha, asnaviraha, those two words I explained very clearly last class. I spent a lot of time on that, what it means, etc. Therefore, Atma being free from gross body, is implied by those two words. Therefore, the gross body is negated by those two words, avranaha and asnavaraha. Thereafter, shuddham. We take shuddham as shuddaha. Shuddaha again means the word Atma is of the nature of purity. Atma is purity, which means pure. Atma is pure. Pure means what? Atma is free from all impurities. All impurities means Atma is free from the very original, fundamental, fundamental basic impurity, the cause of all other impurities. Atma is free from the cause means you can understand Atma is free from the effects also. Atma is free from basic impurity in the form of the cause. Therefore, Atma is free from later manifest impurities, impurities in the form of effects also. Atma is free from both cause as well as the effect, isn't it? Which means, what is the basic, fundamental, original impurity? Ajnanam. And Ajnanam here again means avidya. Avidya here means what? Mula avidya. Mula avidya means what? Original. Mula Vidya or Mula Ajnanam. Ajnanam is also another word for Maya, which is the cause of even ignorance. So here we have two words here. I told you very clearly. Ajnanam means ignorance of any given object, which obtains as in the form of a thought in your own mind, which as a mental, it's a mental problem. It's also what? The problem in the mind is also ignorance, isn't it? And cause of the mind is also what? Ignorance. Therefore, here which we take? We should take it as the fundamental basic ajnanam, which is the very cause of the mind, which is cause of the samsara, root cause of the very ignorance, isn't it? Therefore, this here we say Atma is free from Moola Ajnanam, free from Maya, free from the original matter. Therefore, Shuddham, that negates what now? Causal body. The word Shuddham, if we take it as Shuddha, then what does it mean? It negates the Karana Shariram. Okay, causal body. Causal body, what is the causal body here? Karana Shariram is what? Ajnanam. Then Apapa Viddaha. The word Apapa Viddaha again reveals what? Atma as Shuddha Chaitanyam, as pure consciousness, is free from all forms of Punya Papas. So no karma phalam. Atma, it negates the Atma being the bhokta, the enjoyer of the fruits of actions. Atma doesn't have Punya phalam, Papa phalam. Atma is free from punyam and papam. Therefore, Atma is free from all sorts of afflictions in, you know, the results of the punya papam also. Is it clear? Therefore, there afterwards, kavihi. The word kavihi literally means seer. And here seer means what? With the upadhi if you take, who is the one who is knower here? Is there any knower other than Atma? Atma is the absolute knower. Atma is not the knower from the standpoint of Atma. If you see, is Atma the knower? No, Atma is not the knower. Atma is not the knower. Why? Because knowing is not an action. But who is the? Is there a knower at all? Yes, there is a knower. And who is that knower? There is no knower other than the Atma. From the standpoint of, if you say Atma is a nirupadhika Atma, without the upadhi, if you say Atma is not the knower. From the standpoint of the upadhi, with the upadhi, if you see, the knower is Atma. That's why where you put the subject is very important. Atma is not the knower, but there is no knower other than the Atma. It's like saying, simple example, you can understand, light is not the illuminator. Light is not the illuminator means, why do you say light is not the illuminator? From the standpoint of the light is not involved in the act of illumining. There is no will. Illumining is not a will-involved action. And light does not claim, I am the illuminator, I only illumine everything. Does not say, does not speak, does not claim. So, illumining is not a will-involved action. Light is, means, very presence of the light, existence of light is what? Illumining. Sanidhya matrena sarvam prakashayati. Just by being, being is illumining. Therefore, from the standpoint of the light, if you say light is not the illuminator, because illumining is not an action, it's swarupam. But therefore, you cannot say illuminator. But from the standpoint of every opaque object, with the opaque, the illuminator is the light. Without the opaque, light is not the illuminator. With the opaque, what happens? With the opaque means every opaque object is illumined. Every opaque object shines, every opaque object is illumined, and it is illumined implies the illumination being there, and illumination implies the illuminator being there, and therefore from the standpoint of the illumined object illuminator of every opaque object is none other than the light. Is there an illuminator other than the light? With reference to, from the standpoint of the opaque things, no. The illuminator is the light. Is the light illuminator? No. It's called, sopadika drishti, nirupadika drishti. Okay? So, soap, like this, you know, light with the opaque is what? Illuminator. Light without, if you see light without the opaque, no? If you see the light from the standpoint of the light, non-illuminator. If you see the light from the standpoint of the opaque, the illuminator. So, kavihi means, know all knowing, omniscient. Okay, therefore, all knowing, how do you say, sarvajnaha? If you see, sarvadrik, no, sarvadrik sakshi, the one who obtains as the very witness, one who is just the absolute seer. Absolute seer, the ultimate seer, the only seer is Sati what now? You can say Kavihi. With the Upadhi, Atma, the only knower, the only seer, the only hearer, the only smeller, the only taster is Atma. You can say in toaster also. Understand? Really speaking, we it is something very interesting to know. There's no knower other than the Atma. There's no hearer other than the Atma. There's no thinker other than the Atma. Atma is not the thinker, Atma is not the doer, Atma is not the performer, Atma is not the enjoyer, but there's no enjoyer. There cannot be a knower, a doer, enjoyer, seer without the Atma. Understand? Therefore, Kavihi means what? Sarvajnaha, all knowing, because the only knower. Therefore, we say what? All knowing. Kavihi Manishi. Again, this also we have seen very beautifully. Manasaha Ishita, I already said that meaning. No, the one who governs the mind, rules the mind. No, in fact, one without whose blessing, mind will be non-existent. Mind cannot become conscious and sentient. The one who, without whose blessing, mind cannot have the status of being the mind, the knower. Understand? Mind cannot be the illuminator of the sense organs and everything. The whose, what is that which really activates the mind? Kena Upanishad comes now. Kena, Manaha, Praiti. We have the question comes, now what is that? Because of whose presence the mind functions. We have to say Atma. Therefore, Manishi. Then Paribhuhu, Swayambhuhu. You know, Paribhuhu. Again, one who is distinct from, one who is Paribhuhu means the one who is above all, above everything, one who is beyond everything. That's called Pari, Upari. Isn't it? The one who is above all means one who is not bound by the world, one who is free from the world. Being distinct, though not distant, is free from the world of objects, the entire material universe. Okay. So he says, Kavihi, Manishi, Paribhuhu, Swayambhuhu. And the Swayambhuhu only, I said, the one who is of the nature of existence, which means in what form does the reality obtain? If you ask, the reality obtains in the form of very existence of everything. If you ask, I'm searching for the light, where is the light? In what form does the light obtain here? If you say, light obtains in the form of existence of every opaque thing. Why? If there is no light, means all these opaque things will lose their existence. You suppose light is, you turn this light off, what will happen to every opaque object? Every opaque object will be there, but it will be as good as non-existent. Why? They cannot shine. The non-shining, non-revealed, unrevealed, opaque things will be as good as non-existent. Isn't it? For them to have the status of being existent, they need to shine. And for them to shine, they need to reflect the light. For them to reflect the light, there must be light. Therefore, light alone obtains in the form of existence of every opaque object. Only light obtains as the existence, in the form of the existence. What is the form of the light? What is the form of the light? Or what form, in what form does the light obtain? Here, in everything, if you say, light obtains in the form of existence of every opaque. Similarly, it is the Atma Chaitanyam which alone obtains in the form of existence of the entire universe. Every object, the mind, sense organs, organs of actions, pranas, the gross body, the activities, enjoyment of fruits, the external world, existence of everything in this universe is what? Existence of the Atma only. Therefore, Atma is of the nature of existence. The Atma is self-existent. And I said, that which is self-existence is what Swayam Bhuhu implies. That which is eternal. Why it is eternal? It is beginningless. Why it is beginningless? Because it has no cause. Why it is no cause means what? Uncaused. Isn't it? Uncaused, causeless, has independent existence. In it, that which has independent existence is what? That which enjoys its own existence. Therefore, Swayam Bhuhu literally means what? That which is of the nature of self-existence. Is it clear? That's one thing. But not only that, that Atma, which is of the nature of self-existence alone, is in the form of, exists in the form of all the objects. All the objects of all superior, inferior, higher, lower, order of, the beings. The beings of all different orders. And I explained to you last class, if you say highest of Ishvara, we give a status, Ishvara means the Lord. What is the Lord? When you see the creation as the total creation, Ishvara. Creation in its totality is what? The universe in its entirety is Ishvara. Every object which exists as part and parcel of the whole is what? Jiva. Isn't it? There again, if there is a life. Therefore, the Vyashti Samashti. Is it? The individual and the total. If you say the total is Ishvara here. The total is superior and then individual is what? Inferior. So what is it obtains as the ocean? Water. What is which is in the form of a wave? Same water. The water which alone obtains, which alone is in the form of the ocean, is in the form of the wave also. This kind of wave is the being of inferior order. Understand? Ocean is being of superior order. What is superiority and inferiority is based on what? A total means superior. Individual means inferior. That's all. Like that, even the Samashti Devataha, every small natural phenomenon is a Devata. And all the phenomena together constitute Ishvara. Therefore, who alone exists in the form of total Ishvara, Atma? Who exists in the form of a Jiva or everything here? Devata is again the same Atma. And not only this Devatas and Ishvara, the beings of superior order, beings of the higher level, in lower level also if you see, being in the form of human beings, in the form of animals, in the form of plants, the one who is in the form of all the beings, living beings, non-living things, celestial superior beings, or the inanimate things, all the T-series, the only Atma alone exists in the form of everything. Atma alone has become everything. Not even become, Atma alone is in the form of everything. That's called Swayambhuhu. With whose help? By Atma itself. That's why Atma itself is in the form of everything. Which means that also implies what? It's only just appearance of everything, Atma. Everything is appearance of the Atma, means nothing is created out of Atma. Everything is the appearance of the Atma. Isn't it? So, Swayambhuhu. Swayambhuhu. Then, here last sentence, I had to explain. I left it in a hurry. Okay. Yatha tatyataha arthan vyadadhat shashvati bhyaha swamabhyaha. Here, the word Hiranyagarbha is not mentioned in the last line, but we have to take it as what? Atma alone is in the form of Hiranyagarbha. Who is Hiranyagarbha? Ishvaraha. Who is Ishvaraha? Ishvaraha means all the devatas constitute Ishvaraha. Which means each and every phenomenon is here functions. Isn't it? It's a functioning. And the functioning means an inanimate also functions, animate also functions. There is function. Okay, everything is functioning here. And who instructs? Who gives instructions for each phenomenon to function? Is there an ordainer or determiner or governor who is a supervisor? There is no supervisor, ordainer, determiner, enjoiner other than the Atma. Understand? Therefore, he says, it is the Atma who alone, in remaining as Ishvara, in the form of Hiranyagarbha, distributes, in fact delegates, divides, all the responsibilities and duties of each Devata. What's the responsibility, what's the duty of each Devata? Suppose if there is a sun all the time shining, illumining is the job of the sun. Wind is there, blowing is the job of the wind. Understand now? So, Bhishasmad Vatav Pavate, the wind blows. What is that? Who makes the wind blow? What is that because of which the wind is blowing? Similarly, all the planets move in their orbits. Which means there is constant functions are happening on the part of every living organism and also non-living thing. Constantly there are functions happening. And which you must be very subtle, you have subtle eyes to see, like a physicist, to see the molecular motion, even a non-living thing. Otherwise, we can't see how the protons move, that electrons move, the motion on the part of the subtle bodies, we can't even see. But still, physicists talk about all those things. Similarly, there are functions. So these functions on the part of every living thing and the non-living thing, all these functions are happening means the functions have to be backed by what? Knowledge. If there is no knowledge, no function is possible. Actually, functions are happening means each function must be backed by an order. Each function must be happening within the realm of an order. And wherever there is an order, that order must be backed by knowledge. Function implies order being there. Order implies order being backed by knowledge. And that knowledge is nothing but what? Nothing but manifestation. Atma Surupam. It is the Atma. Therefore, that's what you say, Vidadhati. Vyadadhat means Vibhajya. No, it is who ordains all these things. It's Atma alone, remaining as Ishvara, as the Lord of the universe. There's no other Ishvara. There's no other Lord other than Atma. Atma is not Ishvara. Atma is not the Lord. But there's no Lord other than Atma. The one because of whose mere presence everything moves, everything acts, everything functions, everything happens. That is Atma. That is why we call what? The Lord. The Lord of the universe is Atma. Is Atma the Lord? No. Atma is not the Lord. But is there a Lord other than Atma? No. And what name do you want to give that, Atma, the Lord, Ishvara? What do you call that, Ishvara means. Therefore, he says, Vedadhat, Hiranyagarbha is the name we give here, okay? Ishvara, Hiranyagarbha, Arthan, Yatha Tathyataha Vedadhat. Even ordaining these different functions to different devatas also. There is a reason why each devata is given, each devata is blessed with hidden capacity to be what it is. Yatha Tathyataha means in keeping with the punyam, proportion of the punyam, all these other devatas are also what? Blessed with certain duties. So, arthan in this context means duties. Their own functions, the capacity to function. Isn't it? And also the arthan, the duties, the different works or responsibilities, vyadhadatu. So, Hiranyagarbha delegated different activities to different devatas in keeping with their punyam. Therefore, samabhyaha, here to whom does Hiranyagarbha delegated, whom does Hiranyagarbha delegate the duties? He says, samabhyaha, to these devatas. And devatas here are known as Samaha. So Samaha means Samvatsaraha, even the year is called the Samaha. But here, the devatas also are given the name what? Samaha. So two different devatas known by the term Samaha, these Hiranyagarbha delegated duties. How are they delegated? The duties are delegated to these devatas in keeping with their punyam. That's also said here. So, and these devatas are said to be Shashvatyaha devataha. Shashvati devata means every phenomenon is said to be eternal. Every natural phenomenon, every devata is said to be eternal. Eternal means what? All these devatas remain forever, beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly? No. they are eternal. Relatively, they are eternal. Why? Because, you know, once the there's a manifestation of the universe, all these devatas also come into manifestation. And when the universe becomes resolved, at the time of pralayam, they all devatas also become resolved. So they're not absolutely eternal, they are relatively eternal. As long as the universe will be, so long will all these devatas be there. Therefore, they are said to be relatively eternal. So what about us? Us means what? What about our bodies? Our bodies, you know, not eternal. You know, mortals. That's why we are called mortals. We are not said to be eternal. Bodies are not mortals. Bodies are mortals only. Very quickly, the span of life is very short when compared to devatas. Devatas enjoy long life. Span of life. Now, one srishti to srishti, they'll be there. Srishti to pralaya, they'll be there. The time of pralaya, they all dissolve. Again, when new srishti comes, again they become manifest. Therefore, these devatas enjoy relative eternity. It's called apekshika nityatvam. But they do not enjoy absolute eternity. No. What is that which alone enjoys absolute eternity? Atma. Why? Atma does not come, does not go, does not go. Changes, always it is there. In that absolutely eternal Atma, relatively eternal universe, all the devatas, everything keeps coming and going. That's what it's called what now? Manifestation. Is it clear? Therefore, who is that who remaining in the form of Hiranyagarbha? Who is that who alone ordains all the duties to all the devatas, make all devatas function in keeping with their own, in keeping with their own punyam also is what? It is the Atma, which means what this verse here tells is, other than Atma, everything else is mithya. Devatas are mithya, Ishwaraha is mithya, all the functions are mithya, everything is mithya. What is that only one satyam, that is Atma? This much is said here in this 8th verse. In fact, these words actually, what are all the things which are discussed here? If you see the word Pariyagat reveals all pervasiveness. You can put in Sanskritam very beautifully, Sarva Vyapakatvam. Sarva Vyapakatvam of the Atma. All pervasiveness of the Atma is revealed by the word Pariyagat. Then if you say the word, then Sarvajnyatvam, omniscience being the nature of the Atma is revealed by the word Kavihi. I want to get all Sanskrit words. Sarva Vyapakatvam, Sarvajnyatvam, then Sarva Ishwaratvam. Sarva Ishwatva means what? The status of being the Lord of everything, isn't it? Enjoyed by the Atma is revealed by the word Manishi. Is it clear? Manishi. And also, Sarva, the Paribhuhu. Paribhuhu is the word revealing the nature of Atma being. No, Atma being distinct from everything. Sarva Atitattvam. Sarva Atitattvam. Then, we can Swayambhuhu is the word revealing Atma being Atma being the self of everything, Atma obtaining as obtaining in him of everything. Sarva Atmakatvam. Or Sarva Rupatvam. Then the last one, the last sentence of this mantra, then Atma being the determiner, isn't it? All ordainer. Atma being the all ordainer. Sarva Vidhatrutvam. Is also what? The last one. Vidhatrutvam will be the last sentence. Last sentence of the mantra. Atma being Sarva Vidhata. So Sarva Vidhatrutvam, Sarva Atitatvam, Sarva Ishuratvam, Sarva Atmakatvam, Sarva Gyatvam, Sarva Vyapakatvam. Understand? All these aspects, all these, the nature of different aspects of the nature of the Atma revealed in this one verse. Is it clear? Okay. Now we have to go to the next verse. But before we go to the next verse, I have to tell you a few things. It's the main teaching. When I say there is light, there is this opaque mic. You understand there are so many opaque things, and every opaque thing shines. Therefore, the light is not the illuminator of this one opaque thing called mic is the light. If we say the illuminator number one. And the same light, if you see, as the illuminator of that table, that chair, that sofa, the television, you can say illuminator number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5. You can count the illumined objects and you can say there are so many illuminators. But in really speaking, you understand the illuminator of this one mic alone, one mic is the one and the same only illuminator of all these opaque things. If you understand, you understood the non-difference between the illuminator of this mic and the illuminator of all other opaque things. The illuminator of this one mic being non-different from the illuminator of rest of the opaque things. All the rest of the opaque things. Is it clear? Which means, understood. Similar here, when you say, I the knower am Atma, the consciousness. And you, next step is what? The knower consciousness obtaining in me as the very I is one and the same Atma, the consciousness obtaining as the knower in all the minds, in everything. Here you understand the consciousness obtaining in one's own mind, available for recognition as the knower. There is no knower other than the consciousness. So the consciousness obtaining as the knower I is the same, one and the same consciousness obtaining as the knower in all the minds. In every, not in all the, in every, all the forms. This understanding is the knower, the consciousness being one and the same. The oneness of the consciousness. Oneness of consciousness, when you understand, is what? Sir, it's called Jiva Ishvara Aikyam. Understanding the oneness of consciousness. But even you arrived at the consciousness, like what? Now again I can say here, when you understand the illuminator of this one opaque thing, being the light, and the one and the same light alone is here as the illuminator of all the opaque things. But still, you see what? There are two things for you. What are they? The all-illumining light and the illumined opaque world of objects. Still there is duality, isn't it? All-illumining, only light, plus opaque world of objects. You say still there is duality. Light is completely different. Opaque world of opaque things is what? Completely different. Before you did not know, you thought there are so many illuminators. But now you understood what? The illuminators are not many. They seem to be many because of the plurality of the illumined objects. Actually speaking, illuminator is one and the only one and the same light. But still, there is an illumined world of opaque objects. Therefore, the all-illumining light and world of opaque things. There are two. Therefore, duality will come. And you have to say, the opaque things are also nothing but the light. The most difficult step. All this entire world of opaque things is nothing but the light. Light is not any of the opaque things. Just as light is not the illuminator, but there is no illuminator other than the light, as one thing. But light is not any of the opaque things, but every opaque thing is nothing but light. How do you say? They seem to be two, but they are not two. If they say they are one, are they one then? Can we say light and opaque are one? How can you say they are one? Because they are of different natures. One is opaque, one is of the nature of opaqueness, the other is of the nature of self-luminous, isn't it? Effulgence. How can self-revealing light and the opaque, the non-shining opaque thing become one and the same? They are of different natures. Therefore, definitely what? They are different. But are they two? They are not one. You can't say they are one. They are not one. But are they two? They are not two also. That is why we have to use the word advaitam. You should say they are not one because they are of different nature. But they are not two. They are not two. Why they are not two? If the opaque, any opaque thing, any part of the world, any part of the world can enjoy independent existence, then it has the countability as a second thing other than the light. No, the mic does not shine here. Let me take it inside that room and see whether it shines there. You take any part of the world, this opaque thing, wherever you take it, if there is light, it shines. If there is no light, it will not shine. It is shining. If it has to shine, then it has to have enjoy its existence means it must reflect the light. For it to reflect the light, there must be light. Without the reflection of the light, opaque thing can never enjoy independent existence. Never enjoy existence. There must be reflection of the light. an opaque thing is not created by the light. An opaque thing is not, does the light create the opaque thing? No. Opaque thing does not create the light. Light does not create the opaque thing. But opaque thing can shine only if there is reflection of the light. Opaque thing is, it has to, there must be reflection of the light. For the reflection of the light to be there, there must be pure light. What is pure light? Light minus opaque is pure light. Light plus opaque is reflected light. Therefore, it is the reflection of the light, you know, then opaque thing shines. Therefore, opaque thing has no independent existence at all. Therefore, we cannot call this opaque thing a tucham, a non-existent thing, an unreal. But we cannot say opaque thing is absolutely real also, because it has no independent existence. We cannot count this opaque thing as a second thing other than the light. Understand? We say from the standpoint of the light, if you see, the opaque thing is what? Mithya. Mithya means what? It has no independent existence. Which means it is not a second thing. That is why not two. Light and opaque are not two different parallel realities. Light and opaque thing are not two different parallel realities. One is enjoys what? A higher order of reality. Another one is, the both are two orders of the one and the only same reality. With reference to the opaque and life, we can say light is satyam, opaque is mithya. Between the light and the satyam and the mithya, what relationship is there? I can say, from the standpoint of the opaque only. From the standpoint of the opaque, existence of light is the existence of the opaque. It is the, understand, therefore, light by its mere presence, lends existence to the opaque. Therefore, it is, light is as good as the cause, not the cause. Light is as good as the cause. Opaque is as good as the effect. And effect has no independent existence. We don't even call it effect, it's as good as. Therefore, we never count the effect as an independent, separate. We do not count effect separately, cause separately. Understand? It's only, any effect is only appearance of the cause. There's no, neither cause nor effect. There's only one truth, isn't it? Like that here also, we have to say here what? This opaque thing is nothing but reflection of the light. Reflection of the light alone is what? Opaque thing. Similarly here, when we understand Atma, the consciousness, the knower, illuminator, is the one and the same Atma in all the beings. Now we say what? Now therefore we say consciousness, Atma, the consciousness, we understand oneness of Atma, the consciousness. What about the known world? The world of objects, which are the material world of objects. What about this entire inert material world of objects? Means, are they two? Consciousness and the material world of objects, are they two? Shastram says, no, they are not one, because Atma is of the nature of consciousness. Anatma prapancha is of the nature of inertness. They are of two different natures. How can you say they are one? They are not one. Are they two? They are not two also. Why they are not two? Because you cannot count any material object. Anything in the world, the entire jagat, the world of inert material objects, has no independent existence. It is the existence of consciousness is the existence of the world. How? Consciousness, if any object shines means what? Any material object shines means this, it's because of the manifestation of consciousness. Now, opaque thing shines means what? Reflection of the light. Reflection of the light is in the form of the opaque thing. So, manifestation of consciousness is what? Every known, experienced, observed, enjoyed object is manifestation of consciousness. Therefore, this inert world of material objects has no independent existence. If it enjoys independent existence, just as without the reflection of the light, opaque thing cannot exist, now will be as good as non-existent. This inert world of material objects are also what? All material objects also shines because the manifestation of consciousness. Okay, so existence of consciousness is manifestation of consciousness. Manifestation of consciousness is what? Existence of the jagat. Therefore, the consciousness and the matter here, they're not two. Not two. Advaitam. Dvaita means two. Not two. So, non-dual. Is a second reality other than the consciousness? No. The only reality, secondless reality, non-dual reality. What about this entire world of material objects? Mithya. Nothing but appearance. If you see, the Atma, the consciousness, is as good as the cause. The material world of objects is what? Is as good as the effect. Atma does not create the world. But there is no such a thing called existence of the world independently without the Atma. Is it clear? Therefore we say, Atma is as good as the cause and world is as good as the effect means. And there is no, the whole world is nothing but appearance of the manifestation of the Atma. What is an opaque thing? An opaque thing is nothing but reflection of the light. What is this world of objects? Manifestation of Atma, the consciousness. This example is very easy. How is manifestation of something we have to understand? We'll do that. Is it clear now? Therefore, what is mithya here? Therefore, the jagat is mithya. Atma satyam. There is no other absolute reality. Therefore, Atma is Brahma. That Brahman is satyam. And the entire jagat is mithya. Which means, so mithya means what? You have negated. Mithya. This is only appearance of satyam. Mithya is nothing but appearance of satyam. This is how you arrive at the vision of non-duality of the reality. In other Upanishads, how it is presented, before I go to the next verse, I'll tell you. In other Upanishads, this, it is not nothing to do with this Upanishad, but still I want to tell you. To establish this, the non-duality of the reality, there is a particular method is used. It's called Adhyaropa Apavada method. Adhyaropaha means superimposition. Apavadaha means negation. This, okay, the method. Adhyaropaha involves two steps. Apavadaha involves two steps. This method is used just to say, okay, just to say there's no, Atma is not the cause. Atma or the absolute reality, Brahman, is not the cause. Universe is not the effect. Not the product or creation. Which means there is no creation at all. There's no creation, which means there's only manifestation. Manifestation means there's only appearance. Appearance of what? There's only one. The whole universe is manifestation of the only reality, Atma. Which means what? There's no creator, there's no created. There's no creator, creation, or created division. The creation is non-separate from the creator. There's no creator-created division. The entire universe which is experienced is nothing but manifestation of only reality implied by the terms Atma or Brahma. This is called what? Finally, Advaita Darshanam. Advaita Drishtihi. Vision of non-duality of the reality. So what it does is, see, for you to arrive at this, all that is here is only Brahma. All that is not only Brahma, all that is here is only Atma. You don't even say this, Atma, Brahma. All that is here is only the Self. I, the Self, am alone. I am all. All it is here is myself. When you say myself, for you this, what is yourself? Atma. What is Atma? Brahma. What is Brahma? Pure knowledge, pure awareness. For you, myself, the meaning of the word myself is what? Pure consciousness, the pure awareness, pure knowledge. Then you can say what? The entire universe is myself. I the self, am the whole. I am the whole. Is the proper explanation of the meaning Aham Brahma Asmi. Then your body, mind, and complex also what? No. Along with the whole objective world, is become resolved as, negated as mithya. I am the whole. To have this vision, you have to say there's no creation. There's no creation means there's no creator. There's no jiva. There's no Ishvara. There's only Brahma. There's only the Self. There's Jiva, Ishvara difference also you have to resolve. Jagat, Ishvara difference also you resolve. Created, or creation, creator difference you resolve. Okay? The individual, total difference also you resolve. I am the whole, to say that all the differences have to be resolved. For which you have to say there's no creation at all first. To say there's no creation, there's only appearance, only manifestation. For this, other texts, Upanishad uses Adhyaropa Apavada method. I already told you, Adhyaropaha means superimposition, Apavadaha means negation. I'll first let me give you the example. If you take an ornament made of gold, a golden chain, and you can say, this is a product. This, you can show this chain and say, what? This is a product. A chain is a product. It is an effect. In Sanskritam, we say karyam. Chain is a karyam. It is a product produced out of gold. And then you can say, oh, if it is a product, if it is an effect, it produced out of what? What is it? No? You're seeing the chain as a product is called first superimposition. Step one. Then after seeing the chain as a product, what is it made of? What is it produced of? You search the chain. Oh, the whole chain is made of gold. What is the cause out of which the chain has been made? You say, you see the gold. From the effect, the product, the chain, you go to the gold, you shift your attention from the name and form chain to the cause, the gold. Once you shifted your attention from the name and form chain, why? It is useful. Gold is not useful. Chain alone is useful. You can wear it. This is sort of function. It serves a purpose, isn't it? You can wear it. Nama, Rupa, Karma. Karma is function. The three together is what? Any product involves is three. Any product means name, form, purpose or function. It serves some function, isn't it? Some purpose. Nama, Rupa, Karma. And you have shifted attention from, oh, I can wear it, the purpose, and the name, chain, because it can be worn on your neck. Form, because of form. You shifted it attention from that to the gold. Now you say gold. Now you search for the whole chain. The entire chain is pervaded by gold, which means then gold. And is there any part of the chain which is not the gold? God. The entire chain is nothing but the gold. Then you say, you know, it is just the gold. Gold alone is in the form of chain. When you say, then you search for the chain. Having arrived at the gold, you cannot, there is no chain. Why? Why there is no chain? If I remove the gold, then after removing the gold, if the chain can be there, then you can say, you can count chain as a second thing. You can't count the chain as a second thing because chain is only a form of a name serving a given purpose, only appearance of the gold. After, now what now? There is no effect or product called chain. There is only gold. When you say there is no product or effect called chain, there is only gold. There is only gold, there is no chain. For you to say there is no chain, you must have arrived at gold. When you say second step, when you say there is no chain at all, there is only gold. That's called what? Negation, isn't it? So, seeing the God as the cause is the second step involved in superimposition. So, seeing the chain as a product is step one. Then seeing the God as the cause of the chain is step two. Two steps in superimposition. The third step, seeing the God as a cause, then you lose. There is no effect. There is only God. Is what? Negating the effect is the third step. Step one in negation. There is no chain. There is no effect. Karya nishedaha is the, you know, negation of the effect is the first step. Then having negated, when the effect has been negated, are you getting it? Mm-hmm. When the effect is negated, then will there be a God with the name cause? Can you call God again a cause? Mm. If there is an effect, then you can call God a cause. The effect has been negated means, where is the cause? Is there a cause? No. Gold is there, but without the causal status. There is gold, but without the causal status. The causal status also is gone. Negation of the causal status, the status of being the cause attributed to the gold, that also is negated. Now what has gone? The effect has gone. Causal status has gone. Now what is here is what? Gold alone is, without enjoying the causal status. There is neither cause nor is there effect. Gold alone is. In what form? In the form of a chain. So chain is nothing but appearance of gold. Therefore, is it clear now? There is neither the cause nor the effect. There is only gold. Is it clear? Mm. This is the same way Brahma, Chaitanya, we see the whole Jagat, whole universe is effect. The whole universe is the karyam, effect. The whole universe is the effect. Then where has it come from? You know, you say the whole universe, then you say Brahman. Atma is the cause of the universe. Well, Atma is the cause of the universe. The cause of this universe is Atma, Brahman. The cause of the universe is Brahma. Thereafter, you say what? The entire universe is nothing but Brahma. Brahman alone is in the form of the Jagat means, the Jagat is not the effect. You negate the Jagat being the effect. Effect. Why? There's no effect. There's only Brahman. There's only Brahman. You negated the effect, Jagat being the effect, then you say what? The Brahma, you can't call Brahman as the cause anymore. Understand? The causal status attributed to Brahman is resolved. Jagat being the effect also is negated. Then what is there? What is there is only Brahma. Brahman alone is in the form of the Jagat. Jagat is only manifestation, appearance of Brahman, the Atma. God is four steps. Seeing the universe as effect, step one. Seeing Brahman as the cause is step two. The negating Jagat being the effect is step three. Fourth, negating the causal status attribute to Brahman is, you don't negate Brahman, okay? Negate only the causal status. When negating Brahman means you are negating yourself, okay? You can't speak then. Therefore, we're negating the causal status. You say what? There's only Brahma. Hope you got it.
Yes.
This is how other Upanishads present the Adhyaropa Apavada method. Through this method, establishes what? Negates the Brahman be Atma being the cause, universe being the effect. By negating what? They says the whole Jagat is the appearance of the Brahman. Is it clear? Therefore, there is no second thing other than Brahma. Because the whole Jagat, what can you say? The Jagat is Mithya. Mithya is what? Appearance of Satyam. What is Satyam? The only Satyam. So, Ekam, Advayam, Advitiyam. Remember these three words. Okay. Satyam is Atma. And that Atma, what is Brahman? Aham. The whole Jagat is Brahma. And what is it? Aham, Brahma. Therefore, Aham Jagat. I am the whole. Is it clear now? I am the whole. Which means your eye sense has been shifted very fast from everywhere and pushed into Atma consciousness. Cognitive pushing. Okay? Finished. You are not there. You can say, I the self am alone. Or you can say, only Paramatma is there, Brahman is there. This is called Advaita Drishtihi. And this vision has to become very clear. Only then you are Jivan Muktaha. Otherwise, you should have a relative identity. When you go to the airport, you're taking a passport, you can't go and say, I'm Atma, I'm Brahmasmi. And he will say what? Brahman does not move, doesn't need to travel also, doesn't take tickets also, doesn't take food also. Therefore, there we should be very careful. So it's only where you have to use what, isn't it? Only when some problems come, then you have to use this knowledge. Okay. This is what is the vision given. So that there is no Atmanatvam. And what is that Atma? Actually, that's what you say. That Atma, which alone is in the form of everything that shines, is what? Saha Paryagat Paryagat Chukramakayamavranam Asnavaragam Shuddham Apapaviddham Kavir Manishi Paribho Swayambhur Yathatityataha Arthan Vidadat Shashvati Bhyaha Samabhyaha. Got it? Yeah. So with this is over. So that section is over. We have to enter into the 9th mantra, from where the new topic begins. Now the new topic means what? Now this is the second mantra, isn't it? The second mantra is going to be elaborated here. Here what happens? Why Jnana Yoga is discussed first? Why Karma Yoga is discussed later? The question should come. See, having discussed the Jnana Yoga topic, now the Upanishad is making a shift, isn't it? We're going to enter into the Karma Yoga topic. From Nivrittihi, now we're entering into Pravrittihi. Completely a different topic. From Jnanam to Karma, Jnana Yoga to Karma Yoga, the topics are now completely going from one thing to another thing. Therefore, because the subject matter is going to be shifted, completely different, and Adishankar Bhagavatpada presents a big introductory commentary is here. And the introductory, he presents an introduction. Introduction to the Karma Yoga topic. Big introduction. The introductory bhashyam is called Avatarika Bhashyam. I thought I should definitely tell you everything that is there in the introductory bhashyam. It would be nice for you to know what introduction does he give before he goes to this ninth mantra. Be nice for you to know. First thing, he begins like this. You know, this division, first of all, he divides this entire Upanishad into the Upanishad of two different subject matter. And it is the Adishankara Bhagavatpada, it is only in this portion he presents. I told you in the very beginning, when he started the Upanishad itself, I told the first mantra presents the Jnana Yoga topic, second mantra discusses the Karma Yoga, and later on, and the third to the eighth, the first mantra, the Sutra Bhuta mantra, the Sutra mantra is elaborately discussed, in the first the portion of the Upanishad, the third to the eighth. And afterwards, from the 9th to the 18th, the 10 mantras discuss the Karma Yoga topic. This division we discussed in the very beginning, this is not something which, any teacher says. Who helps us to understand this? It is the Bhashya which is going to come here. In this portion, Adishankara Bhagavatpada presents it like that. The whole Upanishad has only this much. He says this. The division of the mantras, also is presented in this bhashyam, this commentary from this portion. So here the question might come, chronologically, if we see, what should be the first topic? Karma Yoga must be the first topic. Jnana Yoga must be the second topic. Isn't it? Why? Because it is the, without the preparation required for knowledge, the pursuit of knowledge is not possible. Even if you pursue the knowledge also, it will not be useful, it will not be effective. Therefore, preparation is very important for the pursuit of knowledge to be effective, for the knowledge to happen, for it to become effective, isn't it? For the knowledge to become effective also. For the very preparation is very important. Therefore, for preparation, Karma Yoga is the only sadhanam, only means. So, Karma Yoga is the upayaha, the antakarna shuddhi, antakarna naischalyam, mental preparation required for knowledge is the upaya. Then, Jnana Yoga is the upayaha. Then, Jnanam is the upayam. Upa means end. What is the means and what is the end? For which end, what should be the means also becomes very clear. Karma Yoga is not the means for, direct means for moksha, for knowledge. Jnana Yoga is the direct means for jnanam. But still for antakarna shuddhi and naischalyam, not Jnana Yoga, isn't it? For preparation, Karma Yoga is the means. Which means can give you which end? That is, has to be very clear. Therefore, chronologically, if we see, definitely Karma Yoga must be the first. Jnana Yoga should come later on. But in this Upanishad, first Jnanam is discussed. Jnana Yoga topic is discussed, then comes Karma Yoga. Why? Because it is because the importance, we see from the standpoint of importance, what is important, what is the most important thing? knowledge or karma yoga? Karma. What is most important of the two? What is the tatpariyam? Parama tatpariyam. What is the ultimate aim? Absolute aim. The very ultimate aim of this very human life is moksha, isn't it? And moksha, knowledge is moksha. Therefore, knowledge is the ultimate end, ultimate aim. Parama tatparim is jnanam. Therefore, isn't it? In terms of importance, knowledge is the primary goal. So, karma is only relative, means. Therefore, his jnanam is discussed first. Again, if we see a grihasthashrami, a householder, who is a traditional avaidika. Suppose any avaidika, any traditional grihasthashrami, if you say, he has to perform lots of duties, enjoined karma. Even now you can see, even if you are not a Vaidika also, even if you are not following strictly the Vedic way of life also, of course, dharma anushtanam is there. Strictly, all the Veda enjoined disciplines and the duties you are not doing. Even now you can see how much responsibilities you have as a grihastha karma yogi. First of all, if there is a householder who lives, a Veda enjoined life, then definitely he has lot of nitya karmani. Nitya karma means what now? Nitya karmani means compulsory duties, vihitam karma, prescribed duties. And suppose if he is every day, whether you like it, now there is no such thing called liking it. I like it, I don't like it. You have to definitely, every day there must be worship in the form of Nitya Agnihotram Karma. One must perform Nitya Agnihotram Karma. And then one must be definitely doing Sandhya Vandanam. And then Aupasanam. Some rituals, okay? And then one must be doing what now? Definitely Brahma Yajna means one must study one's own, the mantras of one's own Vedic, the branch of the Veda. Swadhyayanam, isn't it? So lots of things are there. And then doing all these regularly, doing one's prescribed duties, one's compulsory duties, the day will be full of activities. And again, there'll be the whole day, if you see, he'll be very busy with lots of duties. Lots of activities. Even if you are not a Vaidika also, you know how your day is filled with activities. You have to plan your whole day. What time I should do this, what time I should do this. No, go pick up Anuj and then come back and then drop him at the cricket class. And even now, the whole day is, routines are filled. Means, when are you free? When is the time for you to do vichara? So for enquiry, there is not enough time. It is not possible for the one, to spare time for enquiry. Because the day is filled with duties, lots of activities. And all of them are compulsory duties. Prescribed duties, compulsory duties. And in between you are cooking, eating, cleansing, all sorts of things. Therefore, there is no time for vichara. Suppose if a person decides, I want to be totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Total commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. To the exclusion of all other duties and responsibilities. If a person decides, if a person is qualified, eligible for that. Understand? Then, because why? That sort of a thing, if a person knows the value of this, knows the value of knowledge, and knows it is very clear, it is knowledge is the ultimate aim of human life. That comes. Then, in traditional grihastha ashrami, definitely will have this thread called yajna upavitam. As long as the person has this thread, he has no excuse. He must be doing all his compulsory duties, prescribed duties, naimittikam karma, and occasionally he has to perform the shraddham, etc., the ancestral worship, etc., those things also. He has to be doing sandhyavandanam, morning once, afternoon once, evening once. He has to be doing jap, lots of things. He can't, no excuse. Once you're having this thread, means you have to do all your duties. And know when you can break it. Once you are removing your ayajna upavita, the sacred thread, means only when you enter into sannyasa ashrama. Only when you are totally, when a person wants to, now let me spend my time only for vichara, then you can throw it, put into Ganga. There's a sacred thread, you can remove and throw it into Ganga. Not if you don't do it yourself, there's a method. Then the day you remove, then you don't need to do all those things. But as long as you have the thread, you have to do all your duties. Isn't it? So, this mainly, the commentary is going to present all those things actually. Not these things, he prepares that. So, it is impossible for a grihastha ashrami with all his duties and responsibilities to spare time exclusively for vichara. Therefore, there is a saying, sanyasya shravanam kuriyat. May you then, if you have grown out of everything, then you have done your duties, finished everything, then what now? Then may you be a sannyasi. So, jnana nishtha means what? Committed, total commitment to the pursuit of knowledge means, then sannyasa. Which means all the time you can be in vichara. For which, therefore, the jnanam is the primary end. The rest of you should go become wear saffron robes and all that. Okay. What he means is, mentally, if you have that, mentally, if you are ready, without even wearing this also, I'm saying, saffron robes also, mentally you are free from responsibilities and duties. Sometimes even after growing very old also, people still, they're not able to, leave the responsibilities. Still they hold on to. Children are grown up, they're mature enough to do their things, which not too much, interfere too much. They can't do that. Because they're holding on to everything mentally. Isn't it? That preparedness is there, means then sannyasa. Therefore, total commitment to the pursuit of knowledge implies one going through, sannyasa mentally. The mentally going to sannyasa implies what? One being dispassionate. Adequately dispassionate. Therefore, the first jnana yoga topic is discussed because importance, if you see what is important, what exalted of the ends, if you see, it is knowledge. Therefore, knowledge is discussed first. Even though chronological order does not prescribe jnanam first, karma yoga first. Okay, therefore jnanam is prescribed. Suppose the person is not ready to break the thread, mentally is not ready, not able to get into sannyasa, ashrama, not in a position, okay, not at ready, which means this person still has a desire for long life. I want to live long, happily. If the person decides, you know, the very desire for long life implies the person being ignorant. Why? Because a sannyasi is the one who does not have desire for long life. Sannyasi does not have desire for immediate death also. No desire for death, no desire for long life. Okay, no desire, understand? There's no such thing called it. Long life is there, prarabdha. No, tomorrow death is going to come also, okay, and I won't die tomorrow. No, there's neither desire for death, nor desire for long life. Understand? Because, whereas a grihasthashrami, the householder, or I can say the one who lives, the person who's not yet ready for sannyasa, who's not yet ready for it, sannyasa? Whoever has desire for long life is not yet ready for sannyasa. Is it wrong to have desire for long life? It is not wrong to have desire for long life. But desire for jijivisha is there means what? Definitely there is ignorance. Desire for long life itself implies what? Ignorance. Therefore, and the one who is not ready to for that knowledge, for him, karma yogaha. Who prescribes karma yoga? Again, it is the Shruti Mata. It is the Veda Mata. Veda somehow has to help every child. Every mother thinks all my children should be looked after well. The mature one also has to be, okay, the mature one is okay, immature also has to be looked after. Help him to become mature. Then I can give him what I need to give him. Isn't it? Therefore, it is the Shruti mother's love and the compassion for the immature. There is a karma yoga prescribed. And next class, when you come back, we will start with the what all Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada presents in his commentary, before he begins to unfold the meaning of the other mantras. Before he comments upon the mantras, this introductory commentary, which we'll see next class. It's okay? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.